Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pittman. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, and the law office is open. Hey, it's August the 31st, 2019, and we're here at 8 o'clock, as we are every Saturday morning, for edition of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. I guess we're going to dub this program Hurricane Weekend. Hopefully the hurricane just goes off to sea, doesn't bother anybody. But yeah, I guess we have to stay tuned. Won't really know where it's going to go or land, or how much disruption is going to cost for a couple of days. But if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Hey, we're broadcasting live on Instagram. The ATTYPIP or Joe Pippin. You can find me on Instagram. We're also broadcasting live on WeBeamTV.com. WeBeamTV.com. We're on multiple radio stations all over Florida. We're in the Salem Communications Center today at 570-910-860-930. We're broadcasting those stations and different signals going out of Tampa in all different directions. We're broadcasting on 90.3 FM out of Central Florida, broadcasting on WBOB in Jacksonville. A lot of these stations have AM and FM components. We're broadcasting on 96.3 in Sun City Center. We're also broadcasting in Crystal River and several other stations around Florida. If you have a question, though, no matter where you're listening, on your computer and on your radio, you have a toll-free number to call. Your question can be about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care, surrogates, family law, traffic matters. Toll-free number is 877-943-9673. And we're going to take a call here in a few minutes from Bob in Tampa, but let me just open with who didn't have a will. We're going to call this segment, who didn't have a will. Would you believe that Abraham Lincoln did not have a will when he died? Do you believe that Abraham Lincoln was threatened? He was always being threatened. Assassination was a very imminent possibility for him from all the things going on in the country. He did not have a will. He died without a will. And, of course, when he died, Supreme Court Justice David Davis took over and handled his estate. And guess what? When you don't have a will, you have a will, because the state that you reside in makes a will for you. It's called a statutory will. So, since Abraham Lincoln did not have a will, he did have a family, you know. The state that he died in, Supreme Court David Justice took over, and it took him over 2 years, as it normally does when you don't have a will. It can be a long, drawn-out process for all the extra procedures. And Abraham Lincoln failed to plan his estate, did not have a will, and died without one. So he had a statutory will. Supreme Court Justice David Davis took over and handled it. It took him 2 years to complete the estate of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, it had to go through a probate process. All of this is court records. So I'm just telling you, things happen. You know, there's a hurricane out there. So some people might die. People die every day unexpectedly. None of us really think we're going to die. Probably when we do, unless you just go through a long illness. Estate planning is very, very important. So don't do that awful thing to your family where you don't have an estate plan. And I think we're going to start a segment each week on people who died, famous people who died without wills. And we start off with Abraham.
Yeah, my daughter has been working on a horse farm for the past 8 years. there's anywhere between like 12, 15, 20 horses at a time. Her there's full-time employee, part-time employees, and she's like kind of like the manager of the stable. And her compensation is $1,000 a month, plus there's a house there on the premises that she lives in. Mm-hmm. All utilities are taken care of. And then there's a little extra deal going on with the owner that he's got some horses that he wants her to sell, and he'll give her 20%. So she sold like, you know, five or six of these horses. What he owes her has got up to like $6,000. She's been pressing him the last couple months as to where, you know, to pay her what he owes her.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a notice from his lawyer, well, an email from his lawyer to be off the premises in 30 days. I'm just wondering, you see, I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. I was a landlord up in New York. I'm well aware of the procedures up in New York. You got to have a court order to evict somebody from their home.
Is there a lease?
No.
Okay, well, without a lease, she's month to month.
Right.
And she can be evicted. And the written notice probably is a 3-day notice that's required before you evict someone. So maybe they're just going through the procedures of doing the eviction. So she can leave possibly voluntarily, you know, and when she gets that letter to leave, or she can exercise her rights to stay there for at least for one full month after the notice. Like if the notice was sent yesterday, she'd probably have to be out by the end of September. If the notice was received like September 3rd, she'd probably have September and October. But depending on when she received the notice, so she received it sometime in August, she has to be out by the end of September. As far as the money owed for commissions on the sale of the horses, if she can send a demand notice that you owe me such and such amount of money, if I don't receive this money, I'm going to hire an attorney and pursue my legal rights to collect the money. So then if it's, I guess it's more than $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it was less than five, she could go to small claims court. If it's four, she's probably going to need an attorney to file an action in court.
Okay. All right. So in Florida, you don't necessarily need a court order to be evicted?
Well, no. Well, the ideal thing for the landlord, which I know you're not on that side of the fence, is to send a notice and the person leaves. You send a notice and the person doesn't leave, then you have to evict them. But without a lease, without a written document, it's a month to month deal with you have to leave within 30 days or you're going to get evicted probably.
Okay. So at the end of 30 days, if she's not out of there, the police will come and
he'll have to go to court. He'll have to go through the courts of filing a petition to the court to evict her. Then they'll have an order. If she still doesn't leave, then he can get the police to come escort her out.
Okay, so if she doesn't leave, at this point, so if she doesn't leave by the end of September, again, then he's going to have to go through the court process.
Yeah, and then she'll be served papers if she wants to contest it for some reason. Not if she doesn't have a lease, there's not much of a reason to contest, though. Why don't she just leave?
Well, she
can write him a note saying, look, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave at the end of the month. And by the way, you owe me, you know, X number of dollars. And I'm giving you until the time I leave to give me that money, or September 15th, or whatever date she wants to use, and put him on notice that he owes her money, and she's going to pursue that legally if he doesn't pay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Bob.
Okay, Joe.
All right, thanks for calling.
You.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, John.
I have a brokerage account and recently met with my advisor there, and they advised me to have a trust,
mm-hmm.
to change that trust to make at least one of my successor trustees a co-trustee.
Co-trustee. With you now or upon your death? Co-trustee with someone else?
Currently.
Now. Currently. And why do you think they recommended that?
Oh, for health care or for incapacitation reasons, you know, if I had to come in a coma or something, that they would, you know.
Most of my documents that I create, you would create the trust, you would be the grantor, the creator, the owner, you would be the trustee yourself, by yourself. You'd name a successor trustee in the document that would take over upon your death or incapacity. And unless you physically can't write checks and do things now, there'd be no reason to have a co-trustee now. Also, we'd create a healthcare surrogate, durable power of attorney power, that can assist in making medical decisions and things like that.
Okay.
I'd probably have to know a little bit more about why you think it'd be necessary to have a co-trustee, but if you wanted one, you certainly could create the document that way.
Okay. All right, thanks. Second question is, I have in that account, I have both a IRA, it's a Roth, and then part of it is not Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And they advised me to create a separate power of attorney just for that Roth account. What do you think about that?
Did the brokerage company have a form, their form, to be able to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. When I create a trust package for clients, we do a power of attorney that should work. But I know a lot of brokerage concerns have their own power of attorney document to deal with just the retirement account, and that's fine. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with you signing that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, and I enjoy your show.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if you would like to call in, please do so. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, like John there from Bradenton, if you want to learn a little bit more about trust, we have a large poster sheet on estate planning. As the front page has articles about your options, you know, do nothing, have a will, have a trust. Has our information about that, consequences of what choice you choose, the benefits of what choice you choose, a little diagram of trust and how they work. If you'd like that, I'd love to send it to you. You can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me for it at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. And you can text me your name and address if you like at 727-667-3967. I just need your name and address. If you need your send me an email, I need your name and address, and just ask for the poster sheet. And don't be like Abraham Lincoln there. We started the show with that he didn't have a will. You don't want to die without a will. You know, you work your whole lifetime to accumulate assets. And wouldn't you think most everyone would want to have a plan for what happened to those assets upon death? And you know, you might want to take, you might have personal things. If you have minor children, really, do you want the court to decide who the guardian of the child is going to be and who's going to be in charge of the money for the benefit of the child? I don't think so. But you have to be proactive to do something about that. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question about anything, wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, should you put cremation in your will? Yep. If you want to be cremated, that should be a line in the will upon death. So you're in control of your own assets and what happens, and you all just have to be proactive in getting it done to take care of it. You have a family law question, be glad to help you. If you have a real estate question, should you put real estate in a living trust if you have one? Yes. Why? Because real estate goes through probate. You don't want real estate to wind up in a deceased person's name. I had a client yesterday that had multiple real estate properties in multiple states. Should they all go in a trust? Yes, because there'd be probate in each state. real estate has to be probated in the state where it's located. You have a timeshare in North Carolina. Does that have to go through probate? Yep, because it's real estate. You have a legal question, phone lines are open. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. We're doing a live show here on August 31st, 2019. If you have a legal question, call in. You can watch on Instagram. You can watch on WeBeam TV. Or you can listen in multiple ways on multiple radio stations around Florida. The toll-free number to call the show right now is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Open as we speak. Now's a good time to call. Sometimes at the end of the show, things get crunched up a little bit. And you can get your call in right now, get a little peace of mind, and maybe have a more pleasant weekend if you have know the answer to a question that's been bothering you. Again, 877-943-9673. So what happens if you have a living trust and you get divorced? What happens? Well, the court usually is going to divide the assets up. And if you had a joint trust, the assets are going to all come out of the joint trust, and then each party would probably need a separate trust. Suppose you have a home. Suppose you have a joint trust and you have a home and the court directs that it be sold. Well, you'd probably just keep the home in the joint trust until the house is sold and then divide up the proceeds. We'll come back to that maybe in a few minutes. Let's go to Ark in Jacksonville. Good morning. Is it Ark?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your first name?
Mark.
Mark. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. What can we do for you?
All right. My question is, actually, I don't have a will. I've been living with my girlfriend for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really get along too well. If I pass away without the will being made out to my brother, does she have any claim to it?
No. No, because she's not a spouse. A spouse has a spousal right to it. So she would actually have no rights. I mean, she might claim to... She lives in your home?
Yes, she does.
And you totally own the home?
Yes, I do. I'm making payments on it. I've almost got it paid off. She has put... I charge her no rent. She pays none of the bills. But like I said, we have an off-again, on-again relationship. But we've been living together about 10 years.
Yeah, she might have to be evicted from the house, though. I mean, so whoever... You should have a will to name your brother the personal representative and leave everything to your brother if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I know. I should. I just haven't gotten around to it, as most other stuff I seem to do. But that was one thing that was bothering me when she had a claim, because I know she's made a comment if I pass away that she would get the house. And I'm like, I need to find out about that.
No, she wouldn't. But you need to nail it down where she doesn't.
Now, I guess that would also be if I just want to break up with her, she would also have no claim to the house then.
No, there's no common law marriage or anything like that in Florida. She might have a right. She might have to be evicted, which could be a difficult, more difficult process.
We almost had to go through an eviction process with her in one of our times. I went down to City Hall. They told me I'd have to give her a 15-day notice, and then after 15 days, if she didn't leave on her own, then I could file for an eviction, which could take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to get her out.
Yeah, so, you could, if you wanted to be nice, which it doesn't sound like you do too much, but if you wanted to be nice, you could give her, to the right to live in the house for like 90 days after you die. And then there'd be an understanding she has time to relocate and so forth. I mean, you can put whatever time you want her to be in the house, you can allot for that in the will or trust
in the
or
will.
Whatever you create. Huh.
Yeah, and I to be honest with you, I would want to be nice. I wouldn't want my brother just come in there because my brother and her do not get along. I wouldn't want my brother to come in there and just put her stuff out on the street. See, I would want to be nice. Even when I was at the process of evicting earlier, I was still telling her, look, I'll give you like $3,000-$4,000 to help you out. I know you don't have a lot of money. I'm not trying to hurt you in any way, but we really don't get along very well.
Yeah. No, Mark, you can do both of those things in your will or trust. Your brother would be obligated to do that. And just so right. you know, well, we do have an office in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, I'm supposed to be headed that way in the next day or two, but now I guess I'm going to be on hold because it looks like the storm's going to come right up through that way.
Right? We're all guessing.
We're all guessing. So I'm hoping it's going to veer out to the sea and not disturb anybody so I can still come. But we do have an office there, and I do come every 2 weeks. And you might think about having, once you get your documents done, have your girlfriend come with you to the attorney's office to tell her exactly what she's going to get if you die. And then she'll know.
Because
then you might have to listen to too much conversation about it and why she wants more. But so maybe that's, you have to decide whether that would be a good choice or not.
Understand.
All right.
Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's go to another call in Ponte Vedra Beach. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
You are my trust lawyer, and I had asked you the question before about putting my car in the my trust, and you suggested not to do that. And I wanted to ask you, is that because a person tends to sell cars so frequently?
No, that's that's because you don't want your car in the trust that has all of your other assets for liability reasons. And the automobile is not a probate asset. So when we create a trust, we put your home in the trust, tell you how to get your financial accounts in the trust, and usually advise you not to put the automobile in the trust or a boat in the trust, because those are generally non-probate assets and don't really need to be in the trust to avoid probate.
Interesting. Well, I couldn't figure out why, and I have everything else, as you suggested, in the trust, so... Okay, well, that answers my question, and I appreciate it.
All right, Bill, are you the one that lives in Nocatee?
Yes, sir.
All right. See, I remember where you live. All right.
Yeah, glad you're my trust lawyer.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. Nocatee is one of the reasons I wanted to have an office in Jacksonville. It's a fast-growing, wonderful community. I stay within 5 minutes or so of the Nocatee area. And said, well, I really need to have an office. This is a great place to have an office. Such a fast-growing, one of the fifth fastest-growing communities in the nation, actually, right there in Nocatee. Let's go to Teresa in Lakeland.
Hey, hi, good morning, Joe.
Hey, Teresa.
My question is, I have a friend that is in real bad condition and needs Social Security, SSI, or, disability, and needs Medicaid. Well, 10 years ago, he had records, and the judge told him, come back when you're 50. Well, he's 50 now, and he's in worse shape. But he's...
Is he in a nursing home?
No.
Okay.
He should be.
Okay.
Got in touch with Social Security. Anyway, they sent him to doctors a couple weeks ago, and they're telling him they're considering an all-body MRI, and they said, we have your records from 10 years ago, but when he saw that judge 10 years ago, the hospital here in Lakeland never sent over his records.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge did not have anything to go on then. Well, these people have his records, and now he's got COPD from, he's got Lyme in his lungs and something else. It's in those records back then. What does he do under those conditions? Well, plus he has other body, major difficulties, but. Is that can he sue the hospital for that, for not sending that information over?
Well, when did he ask for it to be sent over?
This was 10 years ago.
Yeah. So I think the only thing really to do is for him to ask for the records to be sent now, proving you made a call or asked them to do 10 years ago, just... Hospital will send the records where you direct them to. There might be a fee, but they'll send the records per your request.
Oh, well, he said they never sent them to
Well,
the...
ma'am, 10 years ago, who remembers what somebody said or did 10 years ago? It'd be hard to prove, so he just needs to get it done now is the answer.
Got it. Well, they did.
Okay.
They requested it, and they got it this time. That's why he was upset, because they weren't sent the other
okay.
time. Okay.
Well, so you know, not being mean, tell them to get over it.
Tell them to get over it.
Yeah. All right, that's my legal advice. Get over it.
And one other thing, I don't have a will on my house, but my home is in my mom and my name. My name. If I pass away and I have a 24-year-old daughter, does she get my half or does my mom get it all? Because my mom has put a lot of money into this home. She does not live here. She has her own home.
It depends on the way the deed is titled. So if the deed is titled your name, mom's name, joint right with right of survivorship, it's all going to go to mom, and then your daughter's not going to get anything. You have the right to sever the deed, though, and make it so that your daughter would get half. So there's a way to do that. And we do have an office right probably really close to the hospital you're talking about there in Lakeland that I come to every week.
Okay, yeah.
And we go offer a free consult, review of what you got, and look at the deed. And tell
okay. Well, what is your okay? Yeah. Okay, I was gonna, where's your office at in Lakeland?
It's why don't you call the office, and if you want to, it's right close to the hospital there.
When I bought the home, I just put her name on it and my name on it, but I'd have to look at the paper.
Yeah, it depends on the magic words right behind the deed there.
What's that?
It depends on the words on the deed following the two names. If it's just two names, it's tenants in common, you can leave your half. If it says after the two names with right of survivorship,
then
it's mom's.
Yeah.
And we're right on Lakeland Hills Boulevard, right there next to the hospital, basically.
Well, how about all the contents in the home? Does my daughter get any of that, or is that my mom's too?
If your mom claims that they were hers, that she bought them, they might be mom's. If mom wants to give them to your daughter, you could have a will that leaves everything to your daughter.
So a will, if I made up a will, it would trump my mom's survivorship on
No. Nope.
Okay. Nope.
But everybody needs a will, though. Okay?
Thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673, and our producer has a question for me.
Yes, Joe, I had a caller who called in and didn't really want to get on air, so left me a question for you. The question is, what are the pros and cons of reverse mortgage?
All right. Well, a reverse mortgage is not as bad as it used to be thought of, I think. If you need extra money per month and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage can be a good way to do that. The expenses of a reverse mortgage are usually the negative part of it. It used to be very, very expensive. The costs come down on that, though. But, you know, if you have $2,000 a month of income and you need $2,500 a month and there's no other way for you to get that, you get a reverse mortgage a lot of times. If you have equity in your house, you can take up to half of the value of the house with an extra payment every month. And every case is a little bit different, but I really don't see anything wrong with that. I had a client one time who had his house, a very, very expensive house, paid for. He wanted to buy an RV. He didn't really want to pay for it, so he did a reverse mortgage. Half of the value of his house, he took all of it out at once and bought an RV, and now he doesn't have to make those monthly payments. That's an advantage. The only thing is that loan now becomes a lien on his house, so when his house is sold, his kids will get the proceeds minus the reverse mortgage, and the RV, I'm sure, will greatly depreciate in value. But hey, he did what he wanted to with his money, and it didn't cost him a monthly payment. So he's a happy camper, and he has a right to do with what he wants to do with his money. So the good things are you can get the money, extra money. The bad things are it might cost a little bit, and that becomes a lien on the house. Of course, like all mortgages, become a lien on the house. All right, let's go to John in Treasure Island.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for your informative show. And plus, if you have nobody to give it to, who cares, right?
Yeah, well, I think you have somebody to give it to, though, but...
If you don't, it doesn't matter. Anyway, my wife and I have the cars in both names, the house in both names, all, you know, CDs and bank accounts are in both names, and somebody that paid on debt to all the bank accounts and everything. So the only way we would have a big problem is if we both passed away at the same time, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we travel in different times, different planes. Anyway, but, like, things in the house, like, my sons could basically come over and take the baseball cards. Nobody comes over and locks down the house the day you die, do they?
No.
No, so nobody knows what's going on. So we definitely would need a will, but I can't see where we would need a living trust if we have everything, you know, in both
names. Well, you need a living trust upon the second death.
The second death. So that would be whoever survives problem. So right now we really don't have too much to worry about.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the deal. So you the husband, are you the same age or older than your wife?
Same age. Well, I'm 3 weeks older. She likes older men.
All right. All right. So here, most men think, why worry about this? Because everything is owned jointly. So, you know, the stats are you'll die 7 years before she does.
Yeah.
So most men think, well, I'm just going to not worry about this. Everything is going to go to the wife and just let her worry about it. If you did a joint trust, it'd all be done. So she would have nothing basically to think about in the document. The estate planning documents are all done and it's already with a contingency upon her death. So basically, she might have to tweak the document a little bit if you died first, but it would give her the peace of mind that things were done.
Okay. Joe, one quick question. Why do I hear so many different prices on living trusts? Same thing with cremation.
Because the different attorneys charge different prices. I mean, it's not a regulated price. You have to charge this.
Okay. So
we have a package price that we charge for a married couple. Now, my last couple yesterday came in, and they were kind of against having a trust, so we sat there and talked about it a little bit. And basically, if they had walked out with two wills, two power of attorneys, health care surrogates, and living wills, the fee for that six documents would have been $620.
Yeah.
Each has a flat fee. If they had done a living trust, the fee would have been all of those documents plus the trust plus the deed of their house into the trust, and the fee would have been $795.
That's not bad.
The advantage of doing the trust, now I know attorneys that charge $2,000 or $3,000 for what I charge $795 for. I'm sure there's some that charge less too out there somewhere, but you know, not too many. I'm reading an article in the paper this morning about Abraham Lincoln and so forth, and
I read it.
You read that?
Yeah, he had a buddy in high up in government.
Yeah, actually, that's all true. So, but if he had a trust, it would have been no probate. It would have been handled. It wouldn't have taken 2 years. It would have been handled very quickly.
Yeah. Do you have a local office in St. Pete?
I have one in Largo.
Largo, that's local enough.
Yeah, we belong to the club there at Treasure Island, too, by the way. And we're there all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Mr. Edwards.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Is the 800-226-3529, is that the number of the office?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The local number.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, the local number is just 586-3306.
586 what?
3306.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe.
All right, thank you.
Good.
All right, you're listening. You Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to James in Savannah.
Good morning, sir. Can you help me understand whether or not I need a trust? I'm single, no wife, no ex-wives, no kids, no friends. What does a trust do for somebody?
Well, there are many, many benefits of a trust. The four major ones are when you die, there's no probate of the assets you put in the trust. Wills take 6 months to a year to probate. I was telling everyone about Abraham Lincoln's will, where he didn't have a will. His estate took 2 years to probate because he didn't have a will. So with a living trust, there's no probate. It's quick and easy to administer. It can be done very, very quickly. If a person becomes incapacitated, which might be your biggest benefit since you don't have a spouse or a child, if you became incapacitated before death, the successor trustee that you name can manage everything for your benefit and the lifestyle you're accustomed to without any guardianship proceeding. And it's all a private document. You calling from Savannah, Georgia?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I practice law in Florida. I'm only licensed in Florida, just so you know, but this is pretty general information that would apply almost anywhere.
Stunning. I appreciate your help, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Good day.
All right, let's go to Karen in Haines City.
Yes, I got a question to ask you, and it just now came up about 3 or 4 months ago. We filed bankruptcy 13 years ago. They gave them the motorhome, but now they're trying to get the money from the motorhome, and Bank of America has tried everything. We got the papers on it, so it was bankrupt and everything. What should I do with Bank of America? They're going to ruin our credit if we don't do something about it. Have you ever heard of that?
Well, they got a judgment against you?
Yes, uh-huh. And they charges for the motorhome 13 years ago.
And do you have assets that they might be able to put a lien on?
No, uh-uh.
Well, if you have no assets for them to collect on the judgment,
they picked it up and they picked it up and everything, but they're charging us $12,000.
Well, you might talk to an attorney about bankruptcy though, because the
bankruptcy.
Yeah,
we went to Lakeland when we filed bankruptcy, and they got the papers and everything, but they said Bank of America has to come up with the papers. But we do have it. We went to Tampa at that time.
Do you have... did you have a bankruptcy attorney?
Yes, we did, uh-huh.
Well, call the bankruptcy attorney and have them send the papers to Bank of America telling them to leave you alone, back off. It's been discharged.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they can collect.
Yeah, have the bankruptcy attorney send them a letter that basically says that, if that's going to be true.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Karen.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We have about 12 minutes left in the radio show. If you want to call the show and ask a legal question, phone lines are open. Chris will get to you in a second. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Chris in Sarasota. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What can we do for you?
I got a question. I have a neighbor has a tree that has fallen on one of my rental properties and did some extensive damage. Fixed the house, and as a storm was coming in this year, I was worried about it again, hoping he would take care of this tree. And he has not, and if the storm hits a certain way, it's going to fall on the house again. I didn't know what could I do. I sent him a certified letter stating you need to take care of the tree, but I don't know what I can actually do to force him to take the tree down.
Well, you probably can't force him to take the tree down. Is part of it overhanging on your property?
No, it's Australian pines that are super tall and they're brittle, and the trees are have disease. So
are they what they call the trash trees?
Yes.
Yeah. You might call the county and tell them you have diseased, dangerous trees, and the owner won't help you. Is anything the county can do to assist you?
Okay.
They might. I've heard of sometimes the county would come out and take the trees down if they consider them a danger.
Okay.
Try that and see what happens. If not, just call us back. We'll try to think of something else for you. But usually... I had the same circumstance in one of my houses one time, and actually during a hurricane the trees fell over, broke down the fence, and kind of scraped up against the house, but I had the cost of removing, the dead tree, the fallen tree, and repairing the fence.
All right.
And the neighbor was actually, the neighbor tried to tell me his legal rights, and I'm an attorney, he wasn't, so I kind of know what's going on, but... I had a tree that was causing one of my neighbors, so I just called up tree people we deal with and had them remove it, and all at my cost. So some neighbors are going to be good neighbors, and some neighbors are not going to be so good. So you kind of sounds like you're stuck with one that's not going to be so good.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Lou in Palm Harbor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate you taking my call. I had a friend of mine who passed away a couple years ago, and he had no relatives whatsoever. And the gentleman who he did rent part of his house out to this gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and but no will was ever found, and so this gentleman is still living in the house. And because there was no will, it's never gone through probate. What would someone do, or who has a right, like, to a home? Now, I was friends with him for 20 years, and this gentleman, you know, rented from him for approximately 8, maybe 10 years. So he did have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But what does someone do when you're in a position like that?
Well, with no will, how long ago did he die?
He died about, it's going on, well, just 2 years ago. And he's still in the home, and, you know, nothing's changed, so it's just like he's still alive, but, you know, nothing's happened. I didn't know if the state comes in and takes over, or...
Well, sooner or later, the county will foreclose on the property because the taxes haven't been paid.
Yeah, now, I believe a tax certificate was sold on it from an out-of-state,
okay.
You know...
All right, so that will happen to his home. Somebody might purchase that tax certificate and be the new owner of the home.
Yeah.
As far as financial counsel, they'll just stay there. If they stay there long enough, then they'll go to the state. So some interested family member has got to step forward to start the probate process... To take care of the state if they want to. So nothing's going to happen unless somebody steps forward to start the proceeding. And if nothing happens, everything will eventually go to the state.
It will. Now, as a friend, could you say, listen, I was friends with him for 20 years, and, you know, I'm you know,
well,
he
you
was
could
my
step-
friend with... Does that give you a right or an interest where you could file something in probate and explore that opportunity?
Well, you could, if you're interested in helping resolve his estate issues, you could probably step forward and the court might appoint you as the personal representative, but you'd never be a beneficiary.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right.
Now, what about the person renting? Would they have a right since they rented from him?
They could be an interested party where they could be appointed to personal representative, but again, they're not going to be a beneficiary.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Right.
I appreciate the advice.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right.
And
you
we
too.
Love your show.
All right. Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. All right. Let's go to Casey in Jacksonville.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Piven.
Good
thank
morning.
You for the show.
Uh-huh.
I have a question about my mother's estate. We set up a trust for her. She set up a trust a few years ago. And I don't have all the details right in front of me, but she did put a timeshare into the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And since she set up the trust, we tried to convey the timeshare to one of my other siblings, and it was complicated, and so we didn't do it. So it's still in her trust, and I've heard that could be problematic to have a timeshare inside of a trust with other assets. How do you recommend handling a timeshare? And it's not a giant one. It's just one for a hotel in Daytona or a condo area in Daytona. So we just sort of want to get rid of the timeshare if possible, or at least isolate it from the other assets.
Well, the trust is going to be liable for the annual expense of the timeshare as long as the timeshare is in the trust. So the trustee's job is going to have to figure out a way to get it out of the trust to someone who will accept it. Sometimes if no individuals inside the beneficiaries of the trust want to accept it, then you try to... I have an attorney, though, that we've just got a relationship with to get people out of timeshares. So the trustee should probably hire...
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, the trustee would have to hire someone like that to try to get rid of the timeshare expense for him.
Okay. Oh, and my mother's still alive, so I mean, she can get rid of it.
Well, she can deed it out of the trust. Well, yeah, she could deed it out of the trust back to herself. And then the personal representative can probably just ignore that asset upon death.
That's what we were hoping. We would love for it to just lie foul.
Well, if your mother has an attorney that she likes, go ahead and use that. I do have an office in Jacksonville if she needs someone else to talk to.
I would like to consider moving over to... this is my first time hearing your show. I've enjoyed it. So I would like to move over to your office. How do I contact your office? And you mentioned your attorney who specializes in trust. I'm sorry,
timeshares, yes. All right, so yeah. I'll just give you the toll-free number for other people as benefit as well. It's
1-800-226-3529.
Yeah, we'll be in Jacksonville next week, depending on what the storm does, though. But
the weather, right?
I plan on being there right now, hopefully. But I don't know. It looks like the storm's headed up 95. The last weather report I saw late last night was it's headed up 95 right to Jacksonville. So who knows?
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, give us a call and we'll set up a time, if you like.
Thank you. And can you tell me the name of your law firm?
It's just the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
Best wishes in preparing for the hurricane.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Our producer has another question here. Yes, no?
Someone would like to know your closest office to Sarasota.
All right. We have an office. I go to the office every week in Sun City Center. It's one of the offices I go to. And we also have an office where another one of our attorneys go to in Lakewood Ranch. So between Lakewood Ranch is probably your closest. That would be Attorney Dennis Moses. If you want to see me, it would be to travel another 20 minutes or so up to Sun City Center. And our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Randy in Orlando.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing good, and thank you for taking your time to answer questions for people.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, quick question, living trust will. So, you know, our living trust is really funded by your assets, right? Property, bank accounts, stocks, you know, stuff like that. And but my question is, because they say the assets are distributed quickly, right? And
You can.
Right. So our successor, right, trustee. But what's the difference if I were to come into your office and just get a will done? And inside our will, we specify that, like, we have one child, that mm-hmm. everything we have will, upon our death, will be accessible to our child immediately. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you have to wait for the death certificate.
Even if you have a will that says I'll leave everything to my child, before it gets to the child, we'll have to go through mm-hmm. probate. Because
that's my question. Good.
Yeah, because the reason is the assets would be in a deceased person's name. So if you had real estate and you died, it's in a deceased person's name. If you have a bank account with no joint owner or beneficiary, it's in a deceased person's name. So even though you have a will that leaves it all to your child, no one has a legal authority to deal with assets in a deceased person's name. That's probate. If you do have a living trust, you get rid of all of that. And the successor trustee can immediately transfer everything to your child, which could also be the trustee.
So why wouldn't, how come if an individual goes to an attorney, goes ahead and say, you know what, I want everything in my will that would go to my child or mm-hmm. whoever's child, and they have the IP.
Yeah, because
I don't understand why it would be.
Well, here's the example, then my time's going to run out on me. If your son or daughter walked into the bank and said that my dad died, here's his will, he gives everything to me, give me the money, the bank's going to say no because we have no proof that's the last will. So probate is the process of proving that is the last will, and the court then would appoint your son as the personal representative, and he could distribute everything to him or herself. But the court,
okay.
So a living trust avoids all that because the assets are in a living trust, not a deceased person's name. Hey, Randy, I hear the music. I got to go, but thanks for calling. Thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. You have a safe weekend. So long.